Selamat datang semuanya. I'm Alan Hallowell, and this is Indo Techno. We'd like to welcome both new and old listeners to Season 5, Episode 2 of Indo Techno. Now, UNICEF, or United Nations Children's Fund, refers in its current research to, quote-unquote, tackling the double burden of malnutrition in Indonesia. Millions of Indonesian children and adolescents remain threatened by staggering rates of stunting and wasting. And the, quote-unquote, double burden of malnutrition, where both under- and over-nutrition coexist. Today's guest, Karina Lukito, is a serial entrepreneur who, in her latest venture, Little Joy, is now leveraging best practice strategies and technology to create what she describes as a holistic ecosystem of problem-solving products and an educative community platform for the Indonesian mother and infant. Karina, thanks for joining.
Thank you, Alan.
Now, Karina, you've cultivated your career through the consumer goods and hospitality industries largely. Why did you start there?
So after I graduated from college, my parents stopped giving me allowance, so I have to scramble. I started in the health and wellness center. During that 2015, Muay Thai and boxing was very popular and had a very huge demand, especially for girls to lose weight in a much more efficient manner. In my neighborhood, the biggest one was about to close down due to mismanagement of their accounting book. So at that time, I got not only all of their current customer base, but also down to their trainees and most of the equipment like for free. The ROI is very efficient at that time, around 4 and 5 months throughout the 7 years. I feel like as long as we understand who is our customer, what they love, being agile and adapting to the current market demand, this sort of industry have sustainability and is thriving in terms of the businesses. And lastly, in terms of the macro perspective, our current GDP per capita is around $4,000. It can reach around $10,000 in 5 to 7 years. With the rising middle class income, this consumer good industry was very popular and had huge opportunities.
Now, Karina, you mentioned your family. Can you tell me how your family's budget hotel business across Indonesia relates to this career path you've chosen?
In terms of family businesses, I had two significant learnings that I've been applying over 7 years of my experience in industry. The first one is how we are able to adapt as the companies grow or adapt in certain situations. And the second one is being a data-driven person plays a very pivotal role in sustaining and succeeding in the industry. For example, during my first year joining as an entrepreneur in family businesses around 2017, hospitality industry is in a batshit era. Occupancy hits more than 100% almost every day. But with us being a budget hotel, there are certain limitations to how much resources we can pull out. So during this era, I have to become a good captain where I can motivate each of the employees to push their maximum capability without compromising essential procedure and hospital service. And let's say during the pandemic, I have to shift to become a team player, working in the same pool with them to survive the business. And in other time, I have to also play a different role as a shareholder or as a coach where some member has to be let go, let's say, due to their performance or any other reason. In this case, it has also applied to my current work in Little Joy, where, for example, in our early stage, I was also a team player, assisting, packing, answering a customer, where working hard is what matters. And now that it's growing, somehow the role has shifted to become a captain where I should inspire them in achieving our trajectory and goals.
I see you specifically spent more than 6.5 years with X Coffee, which you founded, I believe, in April 2017. What was the genesis of that idea?
More or less the same theory that I mentioned earlier. There's a huge demand. Drinking coffee itself has shifted from lifestyle to necessity. Like for me personally, coffee has been part of my life. And I can see that people like my friend, my employee, at least consuming 1 until 2 serving of coffee each day. And more than that, I mentioned earlier, our current GDP per capita rise, middle class income in Indonesia is very supportive of the company's growth.
So what were the toughest lessons that you learned building X Coffee?
Probably it was actually the first time I got shouted by strangers. I started this X Coffee purposely just for small scale at first. It was just an extra channel for extra money. And I was just launching some unique product just to attract the customer to go there in such a competitive landscape. For example, we created drinking coffee from a cooler or coffee shop or the donut made from instant noodle. They were unexpectedly a hit at that time. So people and online food delivery like GoFood and GrabFood at that time were lining up for more than 2.5 hours on the daily basis. Media were coming every once a week. Franchises start to come in a weekly basis. And at that time, I wasn't equipped for that. My team was not ready either. And unfortunately, I didn't fastly adapt in creating a procedure and creating a system for our company. And it was affecting our core business value, which is the customer satisfaction. Like people were mad. They didn't get the product after lining up for hours. Franchisees were disappointed with our training and fulfillment service. So from there, I learned the toughest lesson that we should never compromise customer satisfaction over short-term goals.
Understood. So let's start with the basics of your current venture, Little Joy. What are our vision and mission statements at the company?
As you mentioned briefly in the introduction, malnutrition or stunting or wasting has been a scalable concern in Indonesia. There has been quite limited the improvement for the past 11 years. Our basis in building and creating Little Joy, firstly, our vision is to bridge the gap of nutrient deficiency in creating a healthier and brighter future next generation in Indonesia. For the mission itself, we have 2 missions. The first mission is addressing the growing concern of malnutrition by providing the most reliable, trusted, and transparent mom and baby brand through our well-rounded critical nutrient profile for each of our products at a much affordable price and also convenient for the rising number of health-conscious consumers. Our second mission is to provide a holistic ecosystem for the first 1,000 days of children's development and growth in creating a lasting impact on the life of children and their mothers, especially to over 31 million moms and 15 million babies in Indonesia.
Got you. So, as I understand it, there are 4 components to the Little Joy value proposition. So there's 1, Joy World. 2, there's Mom's Joy. You have Dapur Little Joy and Little Joy EDU. Let's start with the first 3, Joy World, Mom's Joy, and Dapur Little Joy.
For Joy World itself, it serves as a core of Little Joy approach in building a comprehensive solution from the nutrient-rich product and the provision of our community program, such as Dapur Little Joy and Little Joy Edu, all in enhancing the crucial knowledge and resources, especially for the first 1,000 days of children's development. For the Mom's Joy itself, it's actually our calls to all of our mom's community in our social media platform. We are aware that motherhood journey can feels so isolating. So we created a Mom Joyce community, a virtual safe space for mothers to share information and tips, getting personal guidance from experts, sharing the burden amongst moms. This sort of activation is also purposely to increase our lifetime value of the product itself, while also assisting us in creating another problem-solving or star product in our company. For example, sometimes we invite like nutritionists, pediatricians to share knowledge, give free consultation on the importance of protein and iron for the first 1,000 days. Both nutrients indirectly are one of the core in our nutritional value. Currently, we run a meal recipe competition amongst moms with using our products that can also increase the brand loyalty as well as lifetime value. Another factor is we also run like an FGD survey for our next launching product just to make sure that our next product really get it and really saw our targeted market. As for the Little Joy, our Little Joy Kitchen, it is meant to be created as an educative platform. Currently is in our social media and sometimes an offline event in a supermarket or baby shop where we inspire a nutritious daily meal creativity using our product or introducing what kind of nutritious meal is suitable for this 1,000 days.
And then let's finish with Little Joy Edu. Can you tell us about that?
For the Little Joy Edu, we promote mother and kids' wellness in creating a smart and healthy individual in Indonesia through immersive event and an online theme and platform. So for example, we just had our Little Joy Edu event called Journey to the Forest, where moms and their babies can have some inclusive quality time through some simple science experiments from nature, like introducing color, texture of soil and clay.
Now, Karina, it sounds like we are erecting kind of a hybrid product services data platform, not just a Gerber baby food, which at least Americans and maybe Europeans, I don't know, maybe it's known globally as a leading line of food products, nor is it just in the Asian parent platform that provides content for moms across the region. Are we biting off more than we can chew in embracing product services and data?
It's back again to our genesis idea of building and creating Little Joy. Our endeavor is to improve the livelihood of kids and mothers in Indonesia, especially concerning malnutrition. And we believe that the impactful solution has to be holistic and comprehensive. For example, the computer can work with a proper software and a proper hardware. Let's say a mother wants a kid to learn how to read. Her kid will then be able to read just from her purchasing dozens of books. She has to make time for her children to learn, and she has to teach her kids there's some allocation of time for you to learn at home. Furthermore, there has to be a support system in the school where the teacher learn to teach the kids how to read and stuff. It's the same with how we want to close the gap of nutrient deficiency in Indonesia. It will not be achievable by just providing the best hardware. In our case, is our formula and problem-solving targeted product. But also it has to come from the software, the availability of a platform where it serves knowledge and resources, for example, on what is nutritious, what is not, what is the proper feeding progress. And furthermore, maybe the last thing, we acknowledge that there are two other things. First, brands can be sustainable and more worth thriving if they know who their customers are. And second, parents desire a product that they can trust. And that trust often comes from knowing that it's recommended by fellow parents. Thus, by creating this community platform where we do not hurt our healthy margin as well, we're actually able to always connect with our customer in improving and creating a perpetual problem-solving product, while also increase brand loyalty and lifetime value amongst parent insight about our products and stuff.
Now, Karina, you referenced the use of data in discussing Joy World in particular. Can you share with us a particularly powerful example of big data at work to improve the lives of mothers and families in Indonesia?
In improving the lives of mothers and families, boils down to collect and analyze the wealth of information from two resources. First, the expert in the field, like pediatrician and child nutritionist. The second one is the ones who are currently experiencing the most challenging issue, which is the parents themselves. So for the first part, we have two partners, one pediatrician and one nutritionist, who have more than 10 years experience in the respective field. They are constantly on a daily basis tracking our target markets, development milestone and growth, while also giving recommendation to them, listening to their major pain point that they experience during those milestones. The example from them is, we are aware that 90% of the children experience GTM. So it's not go-to-market, but in this case, GTM is when children refuse to eat, especially during the early transition from liquid to solid food. And moreover, more than 60% of children experience iron deficiency, which is one of the main factors for stunting. For the GTM itself, my niece 2 years ago when she was one, personally experiencing it, she was diagnosed with early nutrient deficiency. That's the first part. So for the second part, since the beginning of Little Joy, I'm always targeting myself for at least talking to 10 customers every day. And also with the support from our early build in the community platform, both talking to the customer and also community building, it supported the claim from our big data where we have more accurate projections and goals in tailoring our product offering and enhancing nutritional well-being of infants and supporting parents and also making more informed feeding choices.
Now, Karina, one of your problem statements is that Indonesia is overloaded with unstandardized knowledge, misinformation, and myth from older generations. Can you give our audience one or two examples of these myths and misunderstandings?
Most of the prominent misunderstanding in Indonesia is rice as the sole source of nutrition. One common myth in Indonesia is the idea that rice should be the primary and sometimes the only source of nutrition in a meal. While rice is a staple food and an important source of energy, it in fact should be just complementary during the introduction of solid food, especially during that period of 6 months until 3 years. One of the reasons is because their digestive system is so small, so it's better to be filled with a highly nutrient food in supporting the optimization of development growth. Nutrients such as protein, good fat like omega-3, and other essential macronutrients like iron, vitamin D, and A. So this sort of misconception of allocating a huge portion of rice, let's say, to achieve a certain targeted weight is a misunderstanding because babies can be obese and still malnourished. This is why we've created products that carefully formulated by expert, locally sourced with a high quality of ingredient. And all of our products can be claimed in our packaging as well as branding. Our products have gone through BPOM certification and third-party food lab. All of our products are high in protein, high in omega-3, and so on. And that's why it can offer a solution for malnutrition. All of our product is also aligned with the recently updated rule in WHO and our recent update from the national government to intake more nutrient-dense food like high in protein and stuff. Another myth is parents often give fruits or vegetables as fiber and everything else. But we are aware that from the updated WHO rule recently, that even 100% juice for this critical period of development is not recommended because it doesn't have enough nutrient for that small digestive system to meet adequate nutrient for the children's development and growth.
Understood. Very interesting point around the perceived omnipotence of rice and the beliefs that it's a nutritional answer to all needs. Now, Karina, when you scan the universe of threats to growing little ones and families across Indonesia, what is the single most formidable challenge in Indonesia? And how are we equipped at Little Joy to address that challenge?
In my view, the challenge in Indonesia is the nutritional adequacy and balanced early childhood development. As I mentioned earlier, malnutrition has little to non-improvement for the past 11 years, both in terms of stunting and obesity. It poses a complex of persistent challenges. And these challenges stem from the coexistence of undernutrition and overnutrition, reflecting the need for improved nutritional education and practices amongst family. The consequences of malnutrition itself can be severe, affecting not only a child's physical and cognitive development, but also their long-term health and overall quality of life and productivity. We are aware that children who are exposed to nutrient deficiency has 12 times high risk to get infected by disease, has a lower IQ, and all of this create a vicious cycle of human strength and productivity in Indonesia. And for this formidable challenge, we are prepared to address this challenge from three approaches for the first 1,000 days. Firstly, why we target the first 1,000 days? Because it is where 80% of children's brain development happens, immune system and other major development or bone structure development. So providing a holistic approach during this target period can significantly address this challenge in Indonesia. The first one is in terms of the product innovation that actually works and also targeted. We continuously innovate our product to ensure they meet the highest nutritional standard. This innovation driven by research and collaboration with pediatricians, nutrition experts, and also mothers to provide the best possible care. The second one is in terms of the nutritional education. We focus on providing parents with accurate and science-based information on child nutrition. This includes raising awareness about the importance of balanced diet and critical development and growth of children as recommended by experts. Lastly, is in terms of the community support, we actively engage with parenting communities across Indonesia. And we believe that a supportive community can assist parents in sharing experiences, knowledge, and guidance to ensure that children receive the best care and nutrition.
Now, what are the biggest revenue opportunities in our space, whether you measure it across your four business units or using any other metric? Where do we intend to make our biggest amount of revenues?
Maybe for context, like a little joy, I did experience that community platform has an indirect revenue opportunities, especially in mom and baby space. Because firstly, we know that mother trusts mother the best. So when we started and still in the bootstrapping period, our marketing and advertisement expenses has been quite limited. So having the mothers to share how our product affected on their children growth, how it positively affect during their monthly visit to the doctor was actually one of the biggest factor on how we can sustain and even close our third fundraising in this macroeconomic situation. And secondly, in terms of direct revenue opportunities, is in terms of the product diversification. So the first 1,000 days, we started from the early pregnancy up to late 18 and 6 months to 3 years old.
Yeah. Would you say that effectively baby food and nutritional products are going to be our main source of revenue going forward?
During that first 1,000 days, it might be food. So in this period, there are a lot of products that we can explore and innovate and also increase the lifetime value, making more of a prominent improvement to nutrient deficiency in Indonesia. In 3 years or so, we are aiming to diversify to other channels, for example, like personal care for moms and babies.
So, Karina, there's obviously long-standing brands in Indonesia's mom and baby space. I assume particularly baby food. What are they doing wrong that we feel we can do better?
Personally, I don't think they are doing anything wrong in terms of long-established mom and baby brands. But in terms of the space itself, I feel like mom and baby space just is the same as skincare and beauty space. There are a lot of emerging players starting to incorporate or establish because one of the many reasons is our generation tend to not buy the same product as older generations. And one of the main reasons is because probably in terms of globalization, we are easily finding sources and are more conscious about what goes into our body. For example, the mothers within our community, 90% of them make a purchase decision after going through some research. For example, they are very conscious not to put added sugar and salt nowadays, which might not occur in my mother's generation. Another example is girls in our generation started to like very picky about acid that might not be known in the older generation. So those more conscious customers, especially in the health sector, tend to not buy the same product as older generation. And on top of that, the rising of middle class income allow all of this emerging brand to have a more effective mass penetration and be known along with the long established other brand.
Now, Karina, I wanted to ask you, what is Little Joy's single most lethal weapon, if you will? Is it your, for instance, B2B chain management capabilities? Is it connectivity with Indonesia's OBGYN or obstetrician gynecologist networks? Is it product R&D? Is it the company's e-commerce expertise?
Without a doubt, our relationship with the moms all over Indonesia is our single most lethal weapon. So we have moms from Aceh to Papua. We even have reseller moms selling our product in Papua. Each of the factors mentioned by you, like B2B chain management, connectivity with Indonesia OBGYN network, product R&D and e-commerce expertise, play a crucial role in our success. It's our bond with mothers that truly sets us apart. Our deep and meaningful connection with moms goes beyond business. It's a partnership built on trust and understanding. We actively engage with mothers in communities, listening to their needs, challenges, and aspirations. And this direct relationship empowers us to create product that caters specifically to their requirements, ensuring the highest level of quality and safety for their precious little ones. This also gave us a unique selling proposition among, let's say, 20 years long established mom and baby brand that has a long hierarchical structure to get connected with their customer. And furthermore, our relationship with moms allow us to offer support and resources that extend well beyond the product. We provide guidance, educational content, and a platform for mothers to connect and share their experience. it is not only enrich their parenting journey, but also establish us as a brand that care about their well-being and the well-being of their children. Lastly, the trust that mom places in us is our most formidable asset. It underpins our ability to adapt to their evolving needs, ensuring that our products and services remain relevant and beneficial. And through this relationship, we continuously innovate in step with the changing dynamic of parenthood in Indonesia.
So, Karina, what is the toughest problem that you and your leadership team are currently trying to solve?
Indonesia itself has more than 10,000 islands. It's vast geographical expanse where it presents a unique and demanding logistical landscape. So the most challenging issue that we are currently addressing revolve around optimizing our supply chain management, ensuring the efficient and timely distribution of our product to every corner of the country is a complex endeavor.
I can fully understand that. Now, Karina, can we point to any companies similar to Little Joy globally that have really succeeded as we talk about our own success in the future?
We feel like Gerber has resonated us the most. It is one of the most trusted baby food brand globally, with its extensive product range, include the baby cereal, puree, snack, and the infant formula. And they also have a strong presence in many countries and a history of catering to the needs of parents and infants. We aim to achieve the same as them and see a similar trajectory by producing an innovative hero product to serve a specific niche market. Their product also started with fruits and puree that marked the beginning of Gerber's long and successful history as a leading brand in the baby food industry. And over the years, Gerber has expanded its product line to include a wide range of baby food offerings to meet the nutritional needs of infant and young children, which we aspire to expand over the years.
Karina, thanks so much for joining us today. I can say I now fully understand Little Joy's choice of this broader ecosystem approach, your four different nodes. And I specifically liked your hardware-software metaphor, which you described as being really necessary to attacking such a deeply rooted and broad set of problems as child malnutrition. It was also really interesting to hear how you have to battle prevailing and long-held myths and misunderstandings, such as the universality of rice and how we need to broaden awareness of nutrition well beyond those traditional sources. And I also really appreciated the logistical and supply chain challenges of operating in Indonesia that you just mentioned. Thanks again for joining.
Thank you, Alan, for your time.
We hope our listeners have enjoyed today's episode. As always, please consider sharing any feedback that you have about the Indotechno podcast with us. Terima kasih. Sampai jumpa lagi.